Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Our God's an awesome God.
Yeah.
And it's not just because we read it in a book. There's lots of things I've read in books, and some of those are true. I have read in a book that he is good, but you and I have found out that he is more than just something printed on a page. He seeks relationship with us. We just heard a wonderful song on the wonderful one that he is. Throughout the Old Testament, God was not described by attributes like Greek people would. A couple hundred years later, in the Old Testament, God's described as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Doesn't say God is who is everywhere. It just says he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He happens to be everywhere. Doesn't say that he's God omniscient. He knows all things. He happens to know all things. But it was more important for the Hebrew to know, but yet this God has chosen to be in relationship with us. What a delight tonight to know that he has chosen to be in relationship with us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your majesty and your power and your strength and the delight of being in relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in relationship with you, the delight to know that relationship and to walk in it and live in it and abide in it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to say how honored Sherry and I are to be with you folk today. Anybody on their way to fireworks later? Go ahead. It's okay. I'm not going to shame you for it. Okay. There's a couple over there. The rest of you are not fireworks people. That's all right.
Tomorrow night.
Yes. Very nice. Anybody going to dinner after a while? Got something special planned for dinner? Anybody? It's okay. I'm not going to shame you. This isn't a trick question. You're very gun shy when preachers ask questions where the answer is obvious. You know that he's about to slam you. No. You see, most of our life is lived on a journey. Life is lived on the way. I'm thankful that those of you that are going to fireworks tonight or tomorrow or going to dinner after a while, so thankful that we have chosen to come together for a little while, spend some time worshiping him. You see, as we live for him on the way, it lets his light shine through us in the world. We're not going to build a wall around this beautiful building and all be sequestered here. As much as you might enjoy Sherry and my presence for a little while, you probably don't want to live with us. Much as I enjoy your presence, I probably don't want to live at your house for a long, long time. God pulls us together for seasons of worship and then sends us on the road, on the journey. Most of our worship happens on the road, not in here. Now, we're enjoying our worship time tonight. This is kind of like a party. You know, people say, how many times do you have to go to church? None. Don't have to. Our church, we don't have to go to church at our church. We get to be in his presence. But as much as we enjoy worship here, most of our worship happens on the road. And that's the way the Lord wants it to be, so his light and power can shine through us. So this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about that road travel time. And we began this morning talking about truly letting freedom ring. And this evening, we want to talk about something that sustains us on the journey. Just a little preview for those of you that might be going to camp meeting this week. I'll be teaching from 1 Peter, all three sessions, because we were born to hope. Part of his title passage there in chapter 1. So I want to tag a little bit on that hope tonight as we talk about hope's anchor. Hope's anchor in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 20. By the way, if there's anybody in the house that thinks you're unimportant to the body of Christ, I'll tell you right now that that came from the enemy. If there's anyone in the house that says, I'm not as important as someone else that's here, that did not come from God. That came from the enemy. Amen. I just felt impressed that someone tonight needed to hear, you are absolutely vital to the mission. There are no redundant parts. There is no spare parts bin in the church. Okay, no spare parts bin in the church. You're all vital on the mission. So if there's anyone here that was feeling this week that you were unimportant, you could just disappear and the kingdom wouldn't be affected. That's a lie from the enemy. God has gifted you and prepared you for this hour. And you've been placed in this church for a season, for this specific time, that each part supplies what each joint needs to do. Amen. Don't know exactly who that was for. Just felt like I needed to let somebody remember you are vital to the kingdom. Hebrews 6, 13 and following. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater. There was no larger power. Right. No stack of gold. Amen. No Bible. Wouldn't that be weird? God putting his hand on, you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you, God. He couldn't swear to anything else because there was nothing greater than him, so he swore by himself. Amen. Saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently, not God patiently, but Abraham patiently waiting and enduring, he obtained the promise. For men shall verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you and that's me, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, of his word, he confirmed by an oath that by two immutable things it's impossible for God to prevaricate, to lie, amen, to go back on his word. We might have a strong consolation. If you're banking on God's word, you're going to come through all right. If you're banking on God's word, everything's going to be all right. If you're banking on what God said coming to pass, you might as well just start partying now. It's finished. It's done. God said it. It's going to be. Woo. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold on a hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endures, which entered into within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. He's been made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Lord, we are delighted this evening, O Lord, because you have called us out of darkness and you've made us a people who were no peoples. We thank you that we were once without mercy and now you've given us mercy. And this evening we rejoice because your word is forever settled. We thank you, O Lord, for that even now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Anybody worried about the sun coming up in the morning? Anybody going to set their alarm for O Dark 30 just to make sure? I'm really afraid the sun may not come up tomorrow. Jeremiah put it this way, hearing the word of the Lord to Israel, he said, hear what the Lord says. If nobody can break my covenant with the sun, if nobody can break my covenant with the moon, then why in the world does anybody think I would break my covenant with you? Amen. Brothers and sisters, the sun is going to come up in the morning. But I know the one who spoke the sun into existence, and I trust his word more than I trust the sun coming up in the morning. I trust his word more than the consequence of his word, because his word is forever settled. Someone needs to hear tonight that there's an anchor for your soul. Hope has an anchor, and it is placed. It is placed in both God's promises and in eternity. This morning we called for freedom to ring clearly, and I trust the Lord spoke to someone this morning. Just a show of hands, how many heard God speak something to you this morning? Amen. Two or three folks came up to me afterwards and confessed, this is what the Lord spoke to me, and this is how I responded. That's exactly what you need to do. You need to hear from God. You need to know what you're going to do about it, how you pray in line with it, and then confess it to someone else. The Lord spoke to us about walking in this freedom, and our challenge now is to be sustained on the journey. Amen. Getting started on something's always excited. How many of you have unfinished projects in the basement? No, isn't it true? How many of you started new instruments during COVID? And maybe didn't quite stick with it. We're all excited about new starts and new beginnings, but we need a sustaining strength. And again, no shame for unfinished painting, unfinished artwork, unfinished guitar lessons. All of that's fine and good, but here's what's important. Finish this race. If you don't finish anything else, finish this race. Amen. You might have started a project. You might have started something your wife is hounding you about. Gentlemen, would you please finish that project? I would like to have my master bathroom back. Or whatever it might be that's unfinished. You may or may not finish that project, but I'm here to let you know you can finish this race. And you can finish it well. You're not going to limp across the finish line. You're already in the master's hands. And he says, it is finished. What a delight to know that God's promises from the past belong to us here right now. We know what it's like to take an oath. It's done at weddings. People, do you pledge to take this one to be your lawfully wedded? Yep, I pledge to it. You have no idea what you just got yourself into. Because whatever he looks like today, add 30 years to the critter. Not going to look like that in 30 years. She might be her hotness right now. She can still be your hotness in 30 years. However, the hotness is going to shift and change over time. I've gotten tired of vehicles before and traded them off before they were paid for. Anybody else had the misfortune of picking the wrong car and needed to get rid of it before it was paid for? When you say, I do, I will, you are affirming that you will stay in that relationship. People who take an office, they place their hand on the Bible, the president or a Supreme Court justice, and they swear to uphold the laws of the land. If anyone has ever been in the military, know that you have to take an oath, an affirmation. I will protect this country, defend this country against threats, both domestic and foreign. If you go to court and you're asked to testify, they don't just say, okay, what do you think? They say, first of all, do you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Otherwise, you're already starting in contempt of court, and you will be going to jail. I am so thankful that when God speaks, he doesn't have to go get a notarizer. Amen. You know what a notarizer is? It means you're signing something, and you got to have somebody who's been trained and authorized by the government to put a stamp on and say, yeah, they signed that, and it was really them. I checked it out. God has spoken through his word, spoken through his body, spoken through his spirit, and he needs no notarizer. You don't need to look for somebody signing off. Yeah, that's what God said. Amen. If he said it, it is settled. It is finished. Heaven and earth may pass away. That word is going nowhere. Nowhere. You can finish this race. And you can finish this race strong because he has already said so by his promises. His promises. Kids sometimes do a pinky finger promise. Okay, it's just not sacred until you link pinkies. Linking pinkies. Of course, at one time, I guess there was this spit in your hand, and they spit in their hand, and you put that wad of loogies together and rub it in real good, and that was a sacred word right there. Used to it was said, of course, that a man was no better than what his word was. If you couldn't keep your word, you weren't what much of a man. This evening, I want to let you know you can trust that God is going to keep his word. Now, it's not the word you wish God would give you. It's the word God did give you. Sometimes I wish he would keep words that I thought I heard, but it was me talking to me. I am so blessed, and you are blessed, that we have his word in our hands. A word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom is never going to violate this book. Well, Brother Little's pastor preached, but then the Lord spoke to me and told me, no. If it's from the word, God's not going to speak something in disagreement with his word, because his word is forever settled. Amen. I would say you could take it to the bank, but banks have been busted into. When folks say you can take it to the bank, they just said they found a repository that would never lose your money. Banks have gone bankrupt before. Currencies have gone worthless overnight. 1,000% inflation rates have happened in countries before. There was a time in Germany during the Weimar Republic that they didn't even make more paper. They just printed bigger numbers on the old paper. So wives would be waiting outside the factory. Their husbands would get grocery bags full of bills. Their wives would throw it in a wheelbarrow and run to the grocery store and buy as much bread as they could, because if she waited the next day, she could buy half the bread she had today. So I'm not telling you you can take this to the bank, because I don't trust a bank the way I trust God's word. God's word is forever settled. Freedom rings, as we talked this morning. Freedom truly rings because we're trusting. He is the one who liberates us. He is the one who has set us free. In this text, we see that God condescended to human level. God stepped down to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to make a promise with you. Who? Me? That's the kind of God who speaks, is the God that stoops down to have a relationship with us. I don't know about the rest of you, when you come in contact with people who are important, especially if they think they're important and they're important, I don't typically go up and say, hey, I'm Jim. I just say, that person doesn't have time for me. They don't want to talk to me. They're too important. And if you do say hi to them, they're looking over your shoulder to see if somebody more important is coming along. And then you just kind of go away because they don't want to have a conversation with me. That's not God and us. God's desire is to be among us. He's not looking for another people. He's looking for us to be his sons and daughters, heirs of the promise. God has condescended down to us, saying, I want a relationship with you. I don't want your name on a church roll and count the church roll as our relationship. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to take away your sorrow and your pain and your shame, and I want to replace it with joy and hope and peace that passes all understanding. But I cannot do that from a distance. I can't put it in a bow in an archer's hand and shoot you peace. I cannot put it into some kind of howitzer and blow it 20 miles away. The only way I can bring you peace is that I draw near to you and I speak to you and I talk with you. What a joy you and I have to hear God's very words. Abraham was told, leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave your family behind. I'm going to give you children, offspring like sand by the sea and like the stars of the heaven. And here's something, through you, every nation's going to be blessed. And when we hear God's word, realize that we are blessed to bless. We receive God's gifts, so we have resources to give. Abraham wasn't all of that in a bag of chips. Scripture tells us with Noah, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. We don't hear that about Abram. We just hear Abram's surrender to God's word and God's purposes. This evening, you don't have to think small of yourself, that if I were smarter or if I were stronger, if I had more resources, if I had more giftings, then I would be vital to God. Brothers and sisters, God chose Abraham, and God is choosing us right now to give us promises, to hold to those promises and not let anything persuade you otherwise. If you have felt nothing else today, feel this one thing: God loves you and cares for you and gave his life for you. You can count on that more than you can count on anything else. God loves you. These promises from yesterday are needed, brothers and sisters, because it's by holding on to God's promises we can endure. We can endure. Those of you that have little children or grandchildren know that you got to be careful on how you word things to your kids. We're going to go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger. If you don't put some fine print in there, like when and who's going and how long you're going to stay there and how many cheeseburgers they can order, they will create it and hound you to, can we go now? No, we said in a little bit. Can we go now then? I just waited a little bit. We as human beings sometimes act that way towards our Heavenly Father. You said you would bring us to a place where all things are restored. Is that right now? Right now? You said I would have peace and joy that would last for eternity. How about right now? Right now, right now, right now, right now. We need the promises because God doesn't supply on your time frame. God doesn't supply the way you and I want him to supply. And I don't want him to supply in my way. I don't want a God I can understand. Say it again, a little more clearly this time. I don't want a God that I can understand all there is to know about him. I can understand the pieces he reveals, but I can't know everything about God, because if I know everything about him, I just pulled God down to my dimension. I don't want a God my shape. I want a God who was from before time he was and who after time he's already there. I want a God whose word can stand strong. You need the promises of God because you're running a race and you need to endure through this journey. Abraham, you're going to have a child. Is it time yet? I mean, I just took down my tent for the umpteenth time. And it seems like every time I move the tent, Sarah has another box for me to take out of the tent. I don't know how much longer I can hold on to this because you said I was going to have a child and our biological clocks, our biological sundials are spinning. Time is slipping us by. Everybody is laughing at what we said was your promise. Surely, dear God, there's another way that we could do this besides your plan that always leads to a painful journey. Trust God's word. You need an endurance that's not dependent on your strength, but that's dependent on his strength. It's not so important how mighty you are, but that you know how mighty God is. It's not so important how stable you are. It's an awareness of how stable he is. You can trust this Jesus because he promised you. He promised you. His covenant with the sun hasn't been broken. His covenant with the moon has not been broken. And his covenant with you cannot be broken. I'm sure like you, you have made some promises to children or siblings or moms or dads that you couldn't keep. And we have to apologize. I'm so sorry, I intended to do something, or I tried to fix it. I tried to repair it. I tried to make it to that ball game or that recital at school, but I got stuck at work. When I promised you I would be there, that was my full intent. And of course, we have to forgive one another because we've not been able to keep every one of our words. I need you to know this evening that God is not bound by the limits that I am bound by. If he said he is your redeemer and he's your healer and he's the one who loves you no matter what happens, you can count on his word and you can take it all the way to heaven. You can take it all the way to heaven. Don't stop at the bank. Don't stop and put it on your mattress. Take his word all the way to glory because his word is settled. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the first part of the promise to come. And then he had to take that child and offer it to God. But the promise is that through you, Abraham, through you, I will do that which I have promised to do. We see here in our reading that it's the promises of God that all strife is going to be over. Could you imagine a world in which there's no arguing? Now, if you have two kids in the back seat of your car, my brothers and I have three delightful brothers, but we would draw those lines on the bench. Mom, he just crossed into my space. It's kind of like when a jet inadvertently crosses over into a nation's airspace. They're in threat of being shot down. Because there's a line there. Siblings do that. Spouses do that. Governments do that. Companies do that. We create these lines of these spaces. This belongs to us, to me. And when you violate my space, you have challenged me and you have degraded me. The very first natural born human beings got in an argument over, of all things, what's the right way to worship? Dear Lord. What's the right way to worship? That's worth killing your brother over. So this goes all the way back to the first natural-born human beings, this fighting. But the promise here through Abraham, and now the promise that holds to us, is that God is bringing a time when all strife is going to be over, all brokenness between us and God. You know those moments when you have failed to do what you should have done, and there's shame, and there's pain that comes your way, and temptation to just quit because I've made an error, a mistake, I've sinned, even purposefully perhaps. There's going to come a time when that's not going to happen anymore, and you can hold it and take it all the way to heaven. There's coming a day when there's no more strife between us and God. There's coming a day when I will be able to speak to him face to face. I don't know what I shall be, but I know that I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Anybody in the house looking forward to that day when we see Jesus face to face? To face. You can take that word all the way to heaven. War between nations. Scripture tells us that in that New Jerusalem by the river, there are trees which bear different fruit in each season, in each month, it seems like. And in that fruit, there's the healing of the nations. What a delight it's going to be when we are there. We will sit side to side with people who in the past, there might have been wars between us and them. But God is redeeming all things unto him. I look forward to a day when there's no more war. I look forward to a day when there's no more violence. I look for a day when there's no more stealing. I look for a day when there's no more shameful words and backbiting going on. I look for a day when there's no more anger towards brothers and sisters. And I know it's coming because his word says so. Well, what difference does that have to do with today? I'll tell you what that has to do with today. Because we still live in a world where people will do a little bit of gossiping. We'll just put it that way. And when you are gossiped against, it hurts. Anybody got a... this isn't theory, right? This is real stuff. It hurts when you are gossiped against. And the enemy wants to drive a wedge in that spot. Pull you away from the body. Why? Because it's always easier to destroy stragglers and those that are pushed aside. So he starts pushing you away, but you can hold on to it right now. Coming a day when there's going to be no more backbiting, there's going to be no more gossip. So we forgive one another here and now, looking forward to the day when all is forgiven, when all is finished. So we worship together, even with people who from time to time don't understand how fantastic you are. I don't understand that at all. Because I see all you as fantastic. My chance to come here two or three times a year that it happens. You're just all fantastic. Y'all beautiful. Y'all do everything wonderfully well. I can't understand why anybody would have a problem with you. But we live in a real world that has breaks in it, tears in it, snags in it. And some of it I've caused. Have you ever harmed somebody and then would to God you could pull those words back? And it takes a season of time to restore that relationship. I'm looking forward to the day where my tongue has been completely redeemed by the Lamb. I'm looking for a day when my eye no longer imagines evil in somebody else's spirit that isn't there. I'm looking for a day where I can be totally honest with everybody and I don't have to worry about somebody putting it on Facebook or bringing shame in somebody's account. I'm going to start living like it right now because I know the day is coming where all the pain, all the sorrow, all the hatred, all the bitterness is going to be washed away. What a day that's going to be when we see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, he promised it. And you can take that all the way to heaven. So our hope this evening is not just is rooted in history. It's rooted in God's promises, but that's not the only place it's rooted. We see here also that it is rooted in our inheritance. We are one who will inherit of these promises that God has given to those that are in the past. As we live as children of Abraham, we are called blessed, and we are called to bless others. We are justified by faith like Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham left Ur, and Israel left Egypt, and the disciples left the boats and the tax tables, and some of you have left some things behind. Anyone else have family members that think small of you because you worship Jesus the way you do? And that hurts. I honestly can't think of anything more painful than divisions of us choosing, I will serve Jesus. I will serve Jesus. And I'm distraught when it harms somebody else. I'm not serving Jesus to harm them, but when they choose a different path than we have and choosing Jesus, you have to leave everything else behind. Some of you have left jobs and careers behind because you saw unrighteousness in those places and you could not serve in that capacity because they wanted you to lie in that form of business and cheat a little bit to get ahead. And they use words like everybody else is doing it. But some of you said, no, I'm not going to do it because I've called by one who speaks truth and I'm going to speak truth. And I'm not saying that to bring shame on anybody else. We're just saying that we have chosen to follow Jesus. Above all else, I will follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I will follow Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm going all the way through with Jesus. We, like Abraham, have had to leave other things behind. But we also, like Israel, recognize that he has become our city of refuge, the city of refuge where cases of accidental death, where someone would unintentionally, we might call it manslaughter, through their lack of attention, killed somebody. They could run to the city of refuge and find shelter there. The avenger could not come in and take them out. I'm so thankful this evening that though all of us have reasons to be rejected by God for things that we have done, for we have all sinned and come short of his glory. When we draw near to Jesus, we draw near to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I have refuge in the presence of an almighty God. The adversary can't bring anything against you anymore because you are with the refuge one, the one who shelters you under his wings. Unlike Jerusalem, we hear the words of Jesus and we will come to him. And like the psalmist, we say, he is my buckler and he is my shield. He is my fortress and he is my strong and my mighty tower. I ask you tonight, brothers and sisters, what are you going to lean on? Lean on your buckler and lean on your shield and lean on your strong tower. When you can't hold on, just lean on him. When you can't go one more day, just rely on him, because he has promised you, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. I got you. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. There are times when I'm asked to speak someplace and there's a little bit of trepidation in my spirit. Is this going to work? Is this going to be all right? I hear a voice from the master that says, I got you, son. I got you, son. Brothers and sisters, you can have that voice in your spirit as well. When you're doing the best you can for the master, here's his word towards you. I got you, daughter. I got you, son. Don't lean on your ability. Trust my ability. Don't lean on your strength. I got enough for both of us. The world tells us when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot on and hang it on. I'm telling you, that's lousy advice. Why'd you lose all that rope in the first place if you were so strong? Why tie the knot at the end? Tie it in the middle. Never get to the end. See, the cliches of the world are so foolish. They're trying to find an answer. Just hold on when you don't know what else to do. I'm not holding on tonight. He's got me in his hand. You may be weary. You may not be able to go on anymore. That's all right. I know who's got you in the palm of his hand, and he paid the price for you. And you can take that all the way to heaven. We're going all the way through. Those promises are yours, and those promises are mine. To do so, however, to sustain the freedom we rang about this morning, freedom that rings clearly, we have to have hope. We have to have hope. The author of Hebrews lets us know that we have fled for refuge. We can lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So we have promises in yesterday, and we have an anchor beyond the veil. Beyond the veil. I don't know too much about sailing or boat life, but I do know this. You put the anchor right beneath where you are. You don't grab the anchor on the end of a chain and like some Paul Bunyan of the North Woods and give it a whip out there 20 miles and the anchor falls down and then you pull yourself along. Sometimes you might have to put down 3 or 4 anchors so that you can stay where you are. That's the goal of anchoring, to stay where you are. Scripture says, I have a hope that isn't where I am, it's where I'm going to be. Your anchor holds, and your anchor is not in today. Your anchor is on the other side of the veil. The Lord, when he ascended into glory, took the anchor and he carried the anchor all the way into eternity. And he put it on the other side of the veil, and he stepped on it in the glorious place, and he says, you can have hope because I took your anchor all the way through to the other side. We can stay in this race. We can finish this race, one, because of God's promises, and secondly, because our hope is already anchored in our tomorrow. Now, hope is not merely... hope is not a wish. I wish I had $1 million. I wish I had $1 million or inflation. I wish I had $2 million. I wish I had $2 million. I wish I had hair. I wish I had hair. I wish I had hair. That's a wish. That's not a hope. Hope is anchored in eternity.
where it's all done already. Pastor, I can't wait to get into glory. Say, Jesus, show me that anchor I've been hanging on to. Show me the place where you rooted all of my promises in eternity. I want to stand on the spot where you dropped the anchor, because I've been holding on to eternity for a long time now. And when I grew weary, I just knew that my anchor held and my anchor was taking me all the way through because it was rooted in the other side of the veil. Jesus took it through the veil. He took it through the veil of death, and he took it through the veil of the resurrection. And he took it through the veil of the ascension all the way into the Father's throne room. And he says, I got some kids coming along here very soon, and I need an anchor for their soul. Your anchor, it will hold. You can trust God's word yesterday, and your anchor of tomorrow will hold. You will stay steadfast on this race. You will stay in this freedom which we have received, because we're rooted in yesterday and we're rooted in eternity. The only way you can lose out is to cut the anchor. Because the promises aren't going to be violated. Anchor in eternity, the only way to lose out is to cut the anchor. What does that mean? It means to give up hope. Hope, anchor for our soul. I'm preaching tonight a little bit on a subject I did several years ago here, that's emotional holiness. We need a hope which is steadfast, a hope that is rooted in tomorrow. This hope isn't contingent on your ability, it's contingent on your faith in Him. Hope sees where it's all done. Hope knows where your anchor rests. And because of that, you start experiencing hope right now. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says there's only three things that abide forever. I know if Paul were writing today, he would add a fourth thing, fountain pens. Faith, hope, love, and fountain pens. Those are the four things which will abide forever. It's going to be heaven, so there's got to be fountain pens there. Faith, hope, and love, those are the only three things that abide forever. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. We talk about faith. We talk about love. We don't talk much about hope. I'm wanting you to know on this Freedom Day, you have a reason to have hope. But it's not rooted in today. It's rooted in eternity. Because if it were rooted in today, the landscape beneath us shifts and changes. I lived on the Mississippi River for a while and read a whole lot of Mark Twain books as I was growing up. One thing about riverboat captains on the Mississippi, they would have to know when those sand barges shifted and changed, but the currents would shift the landscape of the river. What was a clear path may not be a clear path tomorrow. What was a good place to anchor may not be a good place to anchor. I am not anchored in today's politics, today's economy. I'm not anchored in today's health. I'm not anchored in today's wisdom. I don't trust my own understanding. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm leaning on an anchor which is in eternity. I'm not trusting in my ability to see and to understand. I'm trusting the anchor, and my anchor holds. It will never, ever, ever let me down. God is indeed as good as His word, because His word is Himself. He went away to prepare a place for us. He sent back the Comforter to us. He's gifted us by His Holy Spirit to live as witnesses. And now we need to sustain this journey. We need to sustain it in hope. Here's what we need to do this evening. First of all, we need to assess our hopefulness. Thinking back on last week, if you had to rank your hopefulness last week on a scale of 1 to 10, please, no minus numbers allowed. If you were ranking yourself from 1 to 10 on hope, where would you rank yourself? Compared to last year, where is your hope meter resting this day? Hope which is rooted in eternity, not in your ability, but being able to see hope in dark situations, hope in trying situations. When the road gets difficult, I drive a 08 pickup truck. I am very scared when it makes a new noise. I kid you not, the princess and I went to an antique store 2 weeks ago, to an antique store that 3 months ago the truck broke down. And it took us 48 hours to get a tow truck to come get it. We came to the same antique store, and all the while this is rattling around in my brain. You know, last time I was here, a truck broke down. You know what happened when we got outside. The truck started, but it wouldn't go in gear. This place is indeed cursed. My starter went out the first time, and now I can't get the transmission in gear this time. What is wrong with... When you drive an old vehicle, you're attuned to every smell, and you're attuned to every noise. And if it gives you a different burp, what's that going to cost me? Every burp has a price tag attached. So when you see a world that has so contingent and so shifting and so changing, how hopeful are you? Here's God's good pleasure for His church, is that we live every day filled with hope. Every day, God's large and God's in charge. God's got it all handled. I don't have to know the answer. I can trust Him because I know where my anchor is, and I know where I'm going to wind up, and I know the strength to get me from here to there isn't my strength, but it's His strength. So this is the first thing we need to do. We need to assess our hopefulness. Second thing we need to do is we need to confess. Lord, I distrusted you something last week or last month or today, 5 minutes ago. There's some distrust in my spirit. There's some shame that I'm still carrying around, and shame is not from you. There's some boredom that I have. There's some listlessness. There's some sense of uselessness. All of those things are against hope. Hopelessness brings boredom. It brings devaluing. It allows you to be shamed. It allows you to be bored. And it begins to think evil of others because we are not walking in hope. So we need to confess those things. Lord, I've been distrusting you. I have felt shame when I know you healed me. And I know you took away my sin. And it's all under the blood. Yet I'm feeling some shame. So Lord, I confess. I have chosen to abide in shame instead of the hope that you have designed for me. So right now I confess the shame. I confess the fear. I confess the anxiety because this is not your good pleasure for my life. You have not given me a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have given me the spirit where I can cry out, Abba, Father. Oh, Lord, I call on you this day. Hear my confession. I surrender my hopelessness, my distrust, my listlessness, my boredom. So we're going to assess where we are, confess what's been against our hope, what we've lived in instead of hope. Thirdly, we're going to reclaim our place in the promises. I've been chosen by God. I've been chosen by God. I don't have to understand it. I just got to believe it. I don't understand why God chose me. There are better candidates to pick than me. But that doesn't matter whether I understand. The question is, do I believe? Do you believe God chose you? Do you believe He paid a price for you? Do you believe you're not your own? You've been purchased with that price. If so, then you have some promises that you can lay claim to. And fourthly, we're going to assess our hopefulness, we're going to confess some things, lay claim to promises, and we're going to root our hope in eternity, not in today. I am not hopeful today because today's a good day. I'm hopeful because eternity, the sun never sets. In eternity, there's no need for a temple there. In eternity, there is in His presence forever. That's where my hope rests. So when I go through a storm here, this storm isn't the answer. My anchor's going to hold. I have no doubt that when Jesus took your anchor and my anchor all the way through behind the veil and set it down, I have no doubt that the anchor's gonna hold. Sister, that you're in a storm tonight, I need you to confess right now, my anchor is not going to budge. I will come through this thing, and even if he destroy me, yet will I trust him, and I shall see him. Matter of fact, Job put it this way at the end of the book, when he had gone through a storm, he kept his faith in the Lord, gone through the storm and said, I had heard about God before. That's all a rumor. I know a whole lot more about him now, having come through the storm. Somebody in the house tonight, you're going through a storm. Don't be ashamed that you're in the storm. You didn't cause the storm. Don't be ashamed that you're going through the storm. Don't be ashamed that you're having trouble holding on to the oars and you can't make a headway because the storm's pulling you every side and twisting you around. Don't be ashamed because of that. Just drop the oars for a moment and touch the anchor rope and recognize the anchor is not in your storm. The anchor is not beneath your boat. Nobody can budge it and move it. Your anchor is in eternity. So, sister, hang on right now to God's promises and trust your rope. The anchor still holds. Let's stand together, shall we? Hope has an anchor. You have an anchor. We aren't just some kind of deluded people. We aren't some kind of feeble-minded people. As a matter of fact, we're a very strong people. We know where our confidence rests, and that's our strength. I know where my confidence is, and that's my strength. My confidence is the one who gave me his word and who carried my anchor all the way through to the other side. Amen. There are two responses to this preached word this evening. There are those who are in the middle of a crisis right now, and you need an interjection from the Holy Spirit that reminds you it's going to be all right. The promises hold and the anchor holds. If you're in that condition this evening, do not be shamed. Do not be afraid. It's better to confess I'm in the storm than to act like everything's all right. So altar call number one is for this area over here. I'm asking you to come to certain areas because this old guy needs to remember how to pray for whom and to what to do, okay? So if you're facing a storm right now, and you need an assurance that the promises hold and their hope anchor holds, would you come to this area? You're in the middle of a storm, and hope has begun to fade a little bit. Things have taken its place. Would you come over here? It's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you don't understand it right now, brother, sister, but you just took a step onto holy ground. You took a step onto holy ground. You stepped out of your situation and stepped on his assurance. That's holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. Oh, right now I got to pause. I was going to go ahead and do part two. I'm just going to pause right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Healer. Redeemer. Sustainer. Keeper. Foundation. Cornerstone, right now. I lay claim to promises, oh Lord. You said that if I built on a foundation, it could not be moved with storms. I hold to your word right now. I hold to your word right now. I reject the shifting sands, and I reject foundation cracking, and I reject all the things that bring me despair. Right now, I claim the authority of being rooted on a sure foundation. You are my strength, and you are my deliverer. You are my healer, and you are my hope. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now. I pray, oh Lord God, that the storms that have questioned, cause your children to question your goodness, that they be able to see through the storm.
I'm not praying against the storm right now. I'm praying for strength to trust you in the middle of the storm. I'm not rebuking the storm right now. I'm just saying we're going to trust you, oh Lord, in the middle of the storm. If this storm is for one more day or a month or 10 years, it doesn't matter. Your word is good and the anchor holds. In Jesus' name, I pray for strength in the storm. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive a blessing from the Lord right now. Receive strength from the Lord right now. Church, would you raise your hand towards those up here? Pray a blessing right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for strength right now in the middle of the storm. Strength in the storm is better than the storm going away. Strength in the storm will sustain you. It's rooted in God's promises and it's rooted in eternity. In Jesus' name, I pray for a blessing in the storm right now. This is what the Lord says. I know your name and I know where you are. I have not forgotten you. I've been walking with you in this storm, and you are my chosen vessel, and I have chosen you for honor, and your faith has been strong, and when you come through this fiery trial, your faith will be more precious than gold. Would you trust me to keep you anchored in my promises and to keep you anchored in hope in eternity? That's what the Lord says right now. In Jesus' name, receive the word of the Master. Receive the word of the Master. Thank you, Lord. 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 Other half of my altar call, as you desire a new dimension of hope, you desire a new dimension of absolute confidence in the eternal security, not in your eternal salvation for you who you are, but the eternal security that his anchor is going to hold. That anchor is forever secure. And you want a life that flourishes with hope, flourishes with anticipation of God's goodness. You're not in a storm right now, but you anticipate. You anticipate a flourishing in a new season, a flourishing in hope. Lord Jesus, we come before you this night. We know that our anchor is absolutely secure. Nothing can violate your anchoring of your people. Nothing has the authority to uproot the anchor that's already settled in eternity. The enemy cannot go beyond the veil and rip up the anchor. So right now, we call on you, O Lord, our Redeemer, our buckler, and our shield. We declare hope in our family. We declare hope in our marriages. We declare hope in our ministry. We declare hope in the places where we work, in the workplace, as a place where your glory will be seen. Right now, I pray a blessing on God's people. Lord Jesus, we will be known as a people of hope. We will be known as a people of hope. When others are going through a crisis at work, we will have hope because we are rooted in your promise and we are rooted in eternity. When I'm teaching a Bible study, I will teach it out of hope. I will not despair when an alcoholic goes back again. I will go and pull them out one more time and I'll teach a Bible study again because I have hope. I have hope that your word is good. I have hope that you poured out your spirit in this last day. I have hope that you have a purpose in my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. This is what the Lord has for you, church. This is what the Lord says to you. I have called you, and I have destined you with spiritual strength. I have destined you with spiritual wisdom. But without hope, you cannot abide in your gifting. Without hope, you cannot abide in the word that I have given to you. So would you let hope flourish in you, so your blessings, so your spiritual wisdom and your spiritual gifts can flourish. That's what the Lord says for you. You need hope, church, because God has a purpose and a design for your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.